We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
My friends, we continue our discussion of the great subject, the Holy Spirit. Today, the Holy Spirit in conversion. We have learned that the Holy Spirit was sent to guide the apostles into all truth. In John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus assured the apostles of their divine guidance by the Holy Spirit. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever things He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things that are to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall declare it unto you. Thus the promise of Christ for the Holy Spirit to come to the apostles in revelation of truth. Guide you into all truth, the Lord said. Then, there is no divine truth today not revealed in the New Testament. If the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, then the claims of divine revelations by men and women today are claims of impostors. The Holy Spirit did guide the apostles into all truth. If all truth, then there is none from which men may receive such revelations today. Heaven itself authenticated the calling of the apostles and their inspired proclamation of truth by confirming the gospel proclaimed with them and by them with the signs and wonders and the great miracles, as you read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 and Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. No man since the apostles has received such divine revelations, therefore are unable to perform such great miracles as they performed in those days. But we shall discuss those matters later. The Holy Spirit does operate in the converting of a soul. Many honest souls have been led to believe that the Holy Spirit operates directly from heaven upon the heart of the sinner to bring about his conversion. Some have gone to their graves, lost for eternity, waiting for the intervention of the Holy Spirit to bring to them salvation. Others claim conversion by direct power of the Holy Spirit and relate their experiences as evidence of their salvation. Their experiences, usually very emotional, varied and unusual, are relied on as evidence of salvation more so than the positive teaching of God's Word. A false conception of the Holy Spirit as a mysterious, unknown power likely to descend from heaven anywhere, anytime, and take possession of the soul of man is no doubt responsible for such misunderstanding of the operation of the Holy Spirit in conversion. When we speak of conversion, we speak of a person being born again, being regenerated, redeemed by the blood of Christ, one who has been reconciled unto God. The meaning of the term convert is to change to another state, form or substance, to transform. All responsible men of earth are sinners by reason of transgression. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we are told in Romans 3:23. Man has become alienated from God by reason of his own sins. To be saved from his lost state, he must become converted, changed to another state, become reconciled unto God. He must be transformed. He must be made a new creature. The Apostle Paul stated most conclusively that one is become a new creature in Christ in order thus to become reconciled unto God. But the power of this transformation or conversion or reconciliation is within the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 20. He affirmed that God gave to the apostles the ministry of reconciliation, having committed unto them the Word of reconciliation, he said. The same apostle declared that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, Romans 1, verse 16. If the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, then the Holy Spirit does not have some separate or additional power unto salvation. If the gospel of Christ is not the power of God unto salvation, and the Holy Spirit has additional or separate power, then Who is responsible for the heathens in the land where the Word of God is not gone? In the land where the Bible, the Word of God, is not gone, there are thousands and, yes, millions who have never heard of Christ or the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit operates upon the heart directly from heaven, independently of the gospel of Christ, then why does not He go to the millions in the lands where the Bible is not gone and convert the heathens to Christ? Don't you know that it is necessary that we take the gospel to all men of earth in order that they may be converted? Remember, Jesus commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. It should also be remembered that the apostle declared, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." 1 Corinthians 1:21. We have pointed out in the former address that the Holy Spirit is the person who revealed the gospel of salvation to the apostles, whom our Lord had chosen as His ambassadors. So inseparable is this operation that the Spirit is said to be the truth. The truth is the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, which receives life from the Spirit by which one is born or begotten again, or converted unto Christ. It would be well to review very carefully 1 John 5:7, John 17:17, Luke 8:11, John 6:63, and 1 Peter 1:22-23. When Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles to do His work in conversion, He said, "I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." John 16:7-8. Without question, this work is to be accomplished through the Word, the Gospel, revealed to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. There is positively no case of direct intervention of the Holy Spirit in any conversion recorded in the New Testament. To ascertain how the Holy Spirit operates in conversion, we study very briefly some of the cases of conversion in the New Testament. If any recorded case of conversion in the New Testament time, during the days of miraculous works of the Holy Spirit, should bear evidence of direct intervention of the Holy Spirit in conversion, surely it would be the case of Lydia. There was not a gospel preacher on the continent of Europe where she lived. From Sabbath to Sabbath, she was attending a prayer meeting on the riverbank, although she was some 300 miles away from her home. She was a Jewish businesswoman of Thyatira, or she was an most devout woman converted to the Jewish faith. She worshipped God according to the dictates of her conscience, but obviously was not a Christian, a follower of Christ. Since there was not a minister of the gospel within hundreds of miles, why could not the Holy Spirit have converted her directly from heaven, independently of the gospel of Christ? The simple answer is, the Holy Spirit does not and never has operated upon the heart independent of the gospel of Christ, which is said to be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It was necessary for a preacher of the gospel, in this case, Paul, to present the word of the Lord by which this God-fearing woman and her associates might be begotten unto a new and living hope. To accomplish this purpose, God overruled the course of the travel of Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, who might have gone to Ephesus or Asia or Bithynia. God directed Paul to go to Macedonia through the voice which beckoned, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Paul concluded, "The Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Acts 16:10. All of these circumstances were incidental to the opening of Lydia's heart, the most essential circumstance being the necessity of a gospel preacher using the instrument of God's power, the gospel of Christ, to convert the soul of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things that were spoken by Paul. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, opened Lydia's heart and she became a Christian, Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. The important question is, however, how did the Lord open Lydia's heart? This is what the Bible says. Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attend unto the things which were spoken by Paul, and she was baptized. The gospel, which is the power of God to save the believer, Romans 1:16, was the instrument which the Lord used to open Lydia's heart through the preaching of Paul. She heard the things that were spoken by Paul. She understood. She believed. She was baptized into Christ. She became a Christian only. The Holy Spirit did not in any way affect her heart, independent of the gospel preached by Paul, before her conversion, nor in the process of her conversion. The Holy Spirit has a very distinct part in the conversion of every soul to Christ. No man is born into the kingdom of Christ without having been begotten by the Holy Spirit, but through the Word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom. From the divine truth, we have learned that the Spirit is the Word, 1 John 5:7, and the Spirit is the truth, and the truth is the Word. And we're told in the parable of the sower, Luke 8:11, that the Word is the seed of the kingdom. The inspired Apostle Peter declared that the elect children of God had purified their souls in obedience to the truth, having been begotten again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. That is, those who were born again, referred to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. That can be but one conclusion. They were begotten by the Spirit through the Word, the incorruptible seed. Man is, therefore, begotten by the Spirit through the Word of God when he is converted to the Lord and is born into the kingdom of Christ, but not, my friend, separate and apart from the Word of God. Peter identified those who were begotten again, begotten by the seed, the Word, the truth, the Spirit, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, as the same people referred to in the second chapter of Acts, who heard the first gospel sermon offering remission of sins in the name of Christ, which in the city of Jerusalem for the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead was proclaimed with power by these men chosen for that purpose, the apostles. Peter proclaimed unto them the truth, the Word. They planted the seed of the kingdom in their hearts. The Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were saved." Now you read that in Acts chapter 2, verses 37, 38, 41, and 47. To Peter, Christ had declared, "I will build my church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 16, 18, 19. By the Holy Spirit, Peter used the keys of the kingdom by preaching the Word, commanding faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins. The divine record reveals that they that gladly received his word were baptized, Acts 2:41, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2, verse 47. Later, the apostle wrote the epistle of 1 Peter to them, declaring that they had been begotten again by incorruptible seed, the Word of God. They were begotten by the Holy Spirit through the truth, the Word of God, the seed, when they obeyed the gospel. Christ had declared to Nicodemus, "Except one be born anew, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John 3:5. The 3,000 were born of water and the Spirit, born into the kingdom of God. They were citizens of the kingdom of the Lord, converted unto Christ by the Holy Spirit, yes, begotten by the Spirit through the Word, but, my friends, not separate and apart from the gospel of Christ. The divine record of Acts throughout the entire book gives us example, one after another, of those who were converted to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit through the instrument of God's Word. Men today are saved by the power of God, which is the power to save any soul who is capable of believing and understanding, obeying the will of the Lord. God's conversion, God's instrument of conversion, is His Word. But the Spirit operates through the Word. The Holy Spirit operates upon the soul of every man who is converted to the Lord, but not independently of the gospel of Christ, which is said to be the power of God unto salvation. Yes, the Holy Spirit operates in conversion, but the instrument is the Word of God, the power